Hey guys, welcome to Grindworks Podcast episode 40, 040. You've stayed tuned to the whole podcast from the very beginning. The first one joked about numbers, so I just like to keep that first zero in there. It's really critical. So it just sets the expectation that we're gonna at least reach 100 episodes. So I think that's kind of funny in and of itself. Anyway, this week, this episode, today, whatever you want to call it, I drove out to Skate 14 out in Altoona, PA, and met up with Dub and talked a little bit about the park, the history of the park, what he's got going on right now with it, and then we also touched on like the coronavirus stuff, and basically can't have any conversations right now without that being a big topic, especially revolving around small businesses. So I think that there's always interesting takes on that, and hopefully you enjoy what Dub has to say, and you get to check out the park. So without further ado. Well, heck, we might as well just get started then.
Dude.
Start
Let's
it
do
up.
it.
Hanging out outside of Skate 14.
Just hanging out, enjoying some sun.
I have heard you called Dub, I've heard you called Matt, but I don't actually know your name.
I mean, my government name is Matthew,
Okay.
but all the homies call me Dub.
Alright. You're the owner, founder of Skate 14.
Yes. Yeah, if you want to get technical about it.
I mean, yeah, whatever. You gotta have a cool title somewhere in there for
I'm the
like
guy that handles all the responsibilities, I guess.
all the crap.
Yeah.
But how long have you been in business here?
So far, we've been going pretty strong for about 4.5 years. We'll be 5 here October 10th.
Okay, awesome.
So, yeah.
I've at least been coming probably 3 years, I think.
Okay.
Roughly. But yeah, like I heard about it, made the way out, and that was it. But
Right. Was it worth your while to come down?
It's always worth the while to come
Awesome.
out.
Awesome.
I live a little bit east of Pittsburgh, but it takes roughly an hour and a half for me to get out here.
Okay.
So, anyone else that's coming out this way, always recommend them stop in.
Right. Nice. You guys can all pack up in like a big van and just come down to like a little road trip.
Yeah. You know what's funny is we never get out here and ride street though.
Yeah, the street spots around here, they're all right. I mean, sometime that you guys do get a chance, I mean, we could definitely get you some get a tour guide for you guys and show you around. I know Kian and Dwayne would probably be about that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I just need to make it happen sometime. It's like Pittsburgh has so much stuff that like if we're riding street, we tend to stick around there.
Yeah, no, you're blessed with that. For sure. It's definitely a way better street scene out there.
And then like as far as an indoor park though, like we've got the wheel mill, which
Right.
is awesome for when you want to hit jumps and ride bikes.
Yep.
But like their street room or park room, just it doesn't have a ton in it,
Okay.
and it's built very beginner and like family oriented,
That's
so
good. That's
it's
good.
cool, and there's always a lot of people there, and it's good for the
Right.
scene for
Yeah.
real. But
No, that's
like
awesome. It's really good that you guys have a spot out there, that's kind of dedicated to like the bike community,
yeah.
that's really awesome.
Yeah, and like they do allow skateboarding and everything.
Okay.
They don't
Nice.
allow scooters, they don't allow rollerblading.
Okay.
I think it's
Okay.
just the way their insurance works out. And
Right. That's understandable.
cause I
Definitely.
know when you start adding that stuff in, like all of a sudden one activity will like double your insurance rates, and it just
Right.
gets ridiculous. So
Right. Yeah, and I mean, they probably might not, necessarily want as many, younger kids or scooter, riders, kind of interfering. See you guys. you know, kind of interfering with, like, you know, the bike guys that are actually out there ripping.
I think it also just goes with the way they build stuff, is a lot of it is, like, it's mountain bike features. It's, like, pallet-type ramps and everything. So, right. like, nice. There's the mini ramp, and that's super skatable, you know, masonite and everything on it.
Right.
Aside from that, like, some of the box jump stuff, there's metal on. The pump track is all skinned all the way to the floor. Like, that's pretty fun to skate around.
Okay.
If your legs don't fall off first.
Right.
But, yeah, for the most part, it just, it's not built for scooters to be there.
Right. Yeah, it makes sense.
But, yeah, as far as, like, getting your grind on and everything, like, this is the place to come. You know, we have Wedgewood is in Youngstown.
Right.
And that's almost the same amount of time to get there.
Okay, that's Pittsburgh. In Ohio, correct?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Youngstown, Ohio. So that's like an hour and a half from Pittsburgh. It's an hour and a half to get here.
So you're like kind of like right in between then.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad.
And then there's another park in Pittsburgh. I think it's called Switch and Signal.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of them.
And they don't allow bikes there. So like that's pretty much a write-off for as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
It doesn't affect me whether they're there or not.
Right.
But no, I mean, anytime we're looking to come to an indoor park, we're typically headed out this way, I would say.
Awesome. We don't discriminate.
It's good.
Skate, bike, scoot, whatever you want to do, man.
Like, what's your background in? Is mostly skateboarding, right? Or all skateboarding?
Yes, I mean, I skateboard. Yes, I've been skating since I was like 15. So
you're living your dream then, owning a park.
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, you could definitely say that. It's a lot of work, you know, and you know a lot of behind the scenes stuff that people probably don't think about, you know. But it's definitely worth it.
Yeah,
definitely, for sure.
I've helped out a lot with different parks here and there to varying degrees, and it's always that same story. Like, yeah, it's cool,
right?
Until it's an awesome day out like this and you're like, man, I could go skate,
right.
But I have to sit here.
Yeah, that's one of the responsibilities that I was talking about, I guess, you know.
Yeah, but no, like, as far as you know, like day to day that people don't see, it's even before the park exists, like, how long did you have to look for a space that was a feasible place for a skate park? Or did this kind of fall into your lap?
I mean, it didn't really, like, fall into my lap. I just did, you know, some searching, you know, online, newspaper, Craigslist. I mean, we looked at several spots around, you know, town here. And the spot where we're in now, it was just kind of like a random thing. I was going over to my buddy's house and happened to just look over and see the sign. It was like, you know, space for rent. So hit him up, hit the landlord up, and he showed me the spot. And it was pretty much as soon as I walked in, I could feel like the vibe was just like right. You know what I mean? So I was like, yo, this is a spot. I mean, it definitely took a lot of work. You good? But it definitely took a lot of work to get, you know, everything cleaned up. The spot was vacant for like 20 some years, so we had a lot of dust and crazy water everywhere, just like, you know, just a bunch of nastiness we had to deal with and get, you know, cleaned up. So, but I mean, that took probably like 4 months, even before we could start even building ramps, you know,
just
get the space cleaned up.
Did you have a lot of garbage to haul out and everything too, or was it pretty empty, just filthy?
No, there was definitely some garbage. I mean, it wasn't like trash, it was just like, you know, like old wood, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's just useless.
Yeah,
junk.
Yeah. And there was like a bunch of this, like, I guess it was like some type of an absorber, like for moisture, all on the floor. So we had to like sweep like all of this like sawdusty type material up. So that wasn't too much fun. You come out of here, it's just like dust, just like stuck like all in your nostrils. You like blow your nose. It's just like pretty gross.
The classic skate park black boogers.
Yeah, dude, for real.
So we're
trying to keep that down, so definitely like to sweep it all the time now. So.
Yeah. Speaking of like when you walk in and the vibe just feels right, I'm gonna pull back to the first time that we got here. We're like pulling in the lot and it says you're here. It says you're here and you see the sign up on the top corner of the building and you're like, I have no freaking idea where this place is.
Right? Yeah, you gotta like, guess what door to go through.
Well, there's like that. The longer you've been in skating and riding and stuff, like, you always have this feeling. You're like, all right, it's probably like a weird side door.
Right.
The sign's on the left corner of the building, so it's definitely around the left side. And you're just like, you know, you're just kind of exploring. You're like, all right, there's a door with some skate stickers on it. We're in the right spot.
Yeah.
Then you walk in and there's the stairs go down to the right, or the hallway like kind of goes in and to the right, but not down. You're like, it's probably down.
Downstairs, yes.
It's all about feeling the vibe, and you're like, all right, cool.
Let your instincts guide you.
But like, I remember being 10 or 12 or whatever, getting taken to skate parks by my parents, and they're like, I don't think we're in the right place. And it's like, nah, we're in the right place.
Right.
Just wait till you find the right door, and as soon as you open it, you're going to know.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You kind of hear that, like, wah, like, sound in your head, you know?
If I was a good podcast editor, I would actually go find that sound effect, and I'll dub it in there, but I probably won't.
That'd be good. Yeah, for sure. You kind of hear that, like, like sound in your head, you know.
But no, it's funny when you just know by feel, like, because I'm sure you looked at a couple places too that they were like, they would have been good spots, but when you're talking to the landlord, you're just like, this dude is not gonna be down with what I'm selling here.
Right. I mean, there's some that were cool with it. Definitely they supported it. And even some of the places, the ceilings were a lot higher, which would have been nicer to build some bigger jumps and whatnot.
Yep.
But the space itself was just like a little bit too small, you know? Mm-hmm. Down here, it's nice, you know, the feeling that I got whenever I first walked down was like, wow, this is kind of like a underground, like subway type terminal feel, you know? And it had so much space. I mean, pretty much we span almost a whole block, a whole town block. You know, so when you're skating or riding your bike down here, it's like you have so much room to maneuver around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely one of the things that sold me on it. I was like, the space is just, you know, so much. So it was like,
you got that freight elevator shaft up the center too, which like kind of divides the park out in a cool way. It gives you like sections that people can skate rather than like everyone trying to run the same line back and forth.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, we try to set it up so that we have our different sections, but you can still flow the whole park. You know what I mean? You can just like cruise and like just like flow through like one over sections, whether it's like the stair set or this new section we just built up or the bowl. You know, you can just kind of like do your thing in those areas, or if you just want to just like cruise through everything, you know, it just all kind of flows together.
Yeah.
So
the one of the things I've always thought was cool was the vibe is very street, and I think that goes right back to like you're saying, that subway feel, like the
I
think it plays into the lower ceilings as well.
Right.
You kind of have to keep things street, because if you built box jumps, you're just gonna slam into the ceiling.
Right. Yeah, we got to keep our like jumps like, you know, around like 3 feet max, or else
what's your ceiling height?
Like 14 feet.
14?
Yeah.
That's a thing that goes right back to the searching for a space. People don't realize, but like, they think a ceiling is tall until you're like, dude, that's...
Yeah, until you're blasting off.
When you build a 6 foot quarter and you stand on the deck of it and all of a sudden it feels like you got to bend down
because
you got rafters and stuff.
Right.
Like,
all hunchback.
Yeah, that 1 or 2 feet of clearance on the top of a quarter feels like nothing.
Right. Right.
And it makes it so what can you air out of a 6 foot quarter? 2 feet before you're like pressed.
Right, no, exactly, exactly. Because you definitely had a bunch of BMX dudes, you know, brush their helmets off the top of the ceiling before.
I'm sure, especially when you had that, what was it, a 4-foot mini?
Yeah, we did, yep. We definitely had some guys.
Yeah, that was, like, every time you started getting a good run in on it, you're like, ooh, man, I'm close.
Right, right. Yeah, and we had, like, one of our original builds, we had, like, a 3-foot, like, launch box, probably with, like, an 8-foot gap. And, I mean, dudes would get air off of it for sure, but then they just skim just, like, the top of their helmet, you know? It's like, ah. I mean, it made it look cool when they landed, but still, yeah. It's like, you know, nobody wants to slam their head off of the ceiling.
Nor do you want people slamming their heads off of your ceiling.
Exactly.
You're like, dude, that's a liability and a half right there.
No need for a neck or head injury.
You see them scraping when, like right now, coming out of the bowl. There's that long box that can be jumped.
Yeah, right.
Either in or out, but man, is it tight when that happens.
Right. See, the dudes that got it down are like Kian, Dwayne, those guys, some local guys. They know how to pull up to get enough air, but to like crouch down.
Yeah.
To keep their like head below it and still be able to like clear through it.
Yeah, so. Like a racer jump.
Right.
Stay low.
Right.
But yeah, it's even when they're doing it low though, they're still like scraping ceiling.
Right.
So yeah, you get someone that doesn't know that coming in, they're just gonna like slam.
Right. Give them a little warning. Give them a little heads up. Be like, you watch your head before you air up out of this one.
How many versions of the park do you think you've had so far? Like, I guess I would call that like major overhauls rather than onesie-twosie things.
Well, from like our original setup, that's like pretty much completely gone, like our original setup. Our first setup, we had like a big 6-foot like bank. It rolled down into like that little launch box I was telling you about, and then that flowed into like the wall ride. But nothing really flowed together too well. It was just kind of like ramps kind of scattered, you know what I mean? We just had to like, basically we just had to like get some ramps.
Yeah, in here, yeah.
You know, to be like, oh, we got a skate park. You know, but now, through like the past, you know, 4 years, I feel like it's definitely evolved through, you know, to the point it's at now, and it definitely flows through a lot better. It was smaller too originally. We actually knocked out a few walls to expand everything back a little bit, added the bowl, and then this other back little corner section. It's kind of like a, I don't want to say like a beginner section, but it has, you know, like a little 2-foot quarter, little 3-stair, little mani pad on it. Mm-hmm. So it gives, you know, it's kind of like off to the side, so it gives like, you know, some of the beginner guys, or if you're just trying to learn something, you know, it's like a nice spot to be able to go to. So
I like that tight little vert wall that's over there.
Yeah.
It's super fun.
Too, right? So, but altogether, I mean, we probably switched it up, I mean, at least like once a year since we've been open. So, I mean, there's probably been like 3 to 4 different versions.
That's cool.
Of the
That's
park,
cool.
For sure. I know if you go through, I mean, we have like a little YouTube channel. I mean, if people go back through, they can look at some of the older videos on there and see kind of like what it used to look like.
Yeah. So. I'll try to pull that in. At least link to your YouTube channel on that.
That'd be cool.
And definitely your Instagram, because you'll
yes,
see it
yeah,
on there
yeah,
too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, if you scroll down through, there's definitely some older.
There's some wild
clips.
Moves on there too. There's that big 6-foot bank you're talking about. Someone did that wall ride across that weird beam. I think you had the bank taken out in maybe a quarter there for like a very short period of time.
Okay, yeah.
Was it Jake Johnson maybe did that wall ride across the beam that stuck out of the wall a little bit and down into the low bank?
Yep, that was Jake.
That is wild.
That was very gnarly. Over that little like pillar bump set into the wall. Yeah, dude, it was like wall ride bump to like wall ride back into like the other ramp. It's pretty sick.
That bank to wall was real fun though.
Right. Yeah, I forgot about that setup. That was like right before we built the bowl, actually.
Yep. Yeah, because I think you were just you probably tore the bank down and just needed to slam a quarter there in the short term until you built the bowl. I know the name, but who built that bowl for you?
Okay, Skidmark Parks. Shout out to John Saxman.
Yeah.
So if anybody ever needs some ramp work done, hit him up.
he does a bunch of good work. He does. Got his own Instagram, too.
Yes, he does. He does work for Woodward. I know he was a part of the whole project out in the new Woodward out west in like Utah or something they just built.
I can't remember what that place is called, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right. They have like the snowboard park, everything, and the big indoor skate park.
I think he does good work for like Rye Airfield once in a while too.
Yep, he definitely he builds up there.
And if I remember correctly, he had a post maybe a little bit before he did your bowl for you. That was like some New York City art studio, and it was all white walls so that they could do good photos, but it must have been like little 2.5 foot transitions around this whole room, and it looked so awesome. Like, dude, you need to get a session in on that.
For sure.
I love those tight trannies, though, personally.
Nice.
And I mean, a lot of your stuff when we first started coming here too was generally movable, right?
It was. We did have like a bunch of portable boxes, little kickers and stuff like that. Throughout the years, we found those would get trashed pretty hard just from people dragging them around and stuff.
They pick it up by the easy end and drag the sheet metal on the ground. Right. And then it's curled at the end.
Oh, yeah. Or there'd just be boxes just set up in, like, the most obscure positions. You know, and I don't know, by the end of the day, you know, it just seemed like all of our portable stuff would just be, like, stacked on, like, a big pile in the middle. And it's like, oh, all right. So we still do have a few mobile portable obstacles that people can like drag around and stuff, but for the most part we're just trying to lock everything in, you know?
It reminded me of my home park when we first started coming, HCS up in Vestal, New York. And
so are you originally from New York?
Upstate, like Binghamton area.
Right. Nice.
But he did almost everything portable at one point. And it was kind of the same thing. Like, you had a nice kicker, and it had nice sheet metal at the bottom, and some kid would pick it up and drag it all the way across the park and ruin the sheet metal at the bottom.
Right.
Or, like, stack stuff so that it wasn't braced properly, and you're just like, as the person that built it or worked on it, you're like, oh, I'm going to have to rebuild that as soon as kid's done.
Yeah, you get that little feeling in your stomach.
Like, and then it turned into, after a while, if you want that moved, ask me and I'll do it.
Yeah, right.
And that was like kind of okay. And then we had these 10 manual pads, and they were all just 2x4 manual pads built up 4 feet by 8 feet.
Right.
Coping on both sides, both the long sides.
Nice.
And a huge stack of cinder blocks. We would come up with like these huge, massive, like platform setups that you could do. And you'd have an awesome setup in the parking lot.
Right.
And then some kid would come down and tear it all apart and stack it into a 5-stair. 2 manual pads long, slightly shifted on each one. And they're like 2x4 height 5-stair. And it was like,
they there's literally probably skated for like 2 minutes.
Well, no, we had a stair set built that they could just put on the end of it. Okay. And it was like, what are you doing? But it was like a 4 set. So they were normal height steps instead of these low, like, but he's like, now it's a 5. But the height didn't change. You're missing the point.
Right. That's funny.
But no, it was real funny. But yes, I fully relate to exactly what that is. It's funny because it's like a whole motif change, and I think it's going to lead into the question I wanted to ask you is, like, how has your vision of the park changed over time? And I would think that that might be a little part of it.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, I kind of always had the vision for since the beginning it was just like a matter of just slowly just like getting things built, set up, you know, implementing different features and stuff. But I mean, for the most part, I just want it to all kind of connect and flow together, you know, but at the same time have like the different, you know, little sections that people can just kind of like do their thing at, you know, keep people kind of spread out, you know. But overall, I mean, I still have, you know, a bunch of plans that I want to get done over the next like year or two to really like get everything like linked in.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
I had a question I wanted to ask you, and then it just kind of disappeared. So now I'm going to sit here and feel dumb for a second.
It happens.
It happens more often than it should. let me see. Did I have it written down? No. Whatever. It was back to like the origins of like, why did you even want to have a skate park in the first place? Because I feel like that also goes into the vision side a little bit.
Right. Definitely. Altoona, our area where we're at, we didn't have a park for like 15 years. I think it was actually around 13 before we started building. So about 13 years, we didn't have a park in the area. There's like nothing. So, I mean, usually, like, if we wanted to skate or hit up a park, we would be the ones driving out towards Pittsburgh, hitting up Pipes, RIP to Pipes.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
That was a great park. But, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much where we go. Either there or Peach Plaza. So it was kind of like a thing where it was like I felt like, you know, our local community just needed like our own spot, you know, instead of us driving out, you know.
Yeah.
So it just definitely was one of the main reasons. It's just to like, you know, just kind of bring something to our hometown that, you know, they can call their own and be like, yeah, you know, rep it and be proud of it, you know. I mean, the stigma is like, oh, dude, our town sucks, da da da, you know, but it's like, at least now people can be like, well, at least we have something to do that's kind of fun, you know.
And it's such a mentality, too. And it's like, it's no matter where you go, everyone has that mentality about their hometown.
Right.
I hear people in Pittsburgh saying that all our parks suck. And it's like, I don't think you guys know what a bad skate park is.
Right.
I don't think you've ever ridden a bad skate park.
Right.
And some of our ones up in upstate New York are really, really, really bad skate parks.
Right.
But
right.
We have one that, on paper, the design is supposed to be like two quarter pipes with a pyramid in the middle.
Right.
But it's like two 50-degree wedges with no tranny at the bottom.
Okay.
And a 6-inch deck. But they're like 4.5-foot tall wedges.
Right.
And a pyramid in the middle that's the same, 50 degrees. It's like running into walls.
Dang.
And it's a four-sided pyramid. And then there's two grind boxes that would be pretty good, but they're set up on like opposite corners of the park. So if you grind the one, like one, it's always a left side ledge.
Okay.
And then as soon as you come off of it, you're going to ride into the grass.
Right.
And you're like, well, this would be cool if you put them on the same end of the park, so you have a nice right side ledge and a nice left side ledge.
Right, yeah.
And two, give us some room to roll out after them or something to turn on or something.
Exactly, right, exactly. Keep it going. Keep the momentum going.
No, that's one of the parks that's like, it's so bad, but it's actually on my way from Binghamton to here.
Okay.
So anytime any of my friends go up there with me to check out like HCS or for a jam or something,
right,
I always pit stop them at that park just to give them a bad time, but right, also inform them of what a bad park looks like.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, though, it's like, at least it's a spot, you know? I mean, at least there's something, you know, that the locals can go to and rip around on, you know?
Well, you guys don't even have an outdoor park here, right?
We do not. The closest outdoor one, I think, would probably be in Huntington. And then there's also one in Bowlesburg.
Huntington is just like a prefab, right?
It is, yes. Okay. It is. But it's still fun. They have a nice little sea rail there that's really fun to mess around on. It's a good time.
Tussey Mountain I've been to a handful of times, and my brother actually used to live in State College, and he worked there for a couple of years.
Okay, nice. Now, it's a good
back, maybe six or seven years really ago. And yeah, it was definitely fun when we would come down and visit him, check the park out a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's still a hike from here. I think it's like 40-ish minutes.
Yeah, about 40, 45 minutes, yeah, from Altoona to State College.
Yeah. And then to get from here down to Peach, like you said, is about an hour and 15, I would think.
Right, yep, yep.
So, yeah, not having anything here, it's actually surprising you guys don't have a public park.
It was surprising. All right, here's the story. We were supposed to get one, right? Even like Tony Hawk donated like a bunch of money and stuff. I'm not sure the exact number, but I know there was definitely like
it's usually a couple hundred thousand, yeah, I think, right, coming out of that foundation. Right.
And then apparently the city had like this commission, this rec commission that was supposed to handle, you know, the building of this park. And then the park never, you know, got built. But then a few years later, this water park got built. So they used all the funds from the skateboard park, or the, you know, the skate park funds to build this water park. So, you know, just some shady political bullshit that, you know, that happens.
Yeah.
Most.
yeah.
So.
That's unfortunate.
Right.
You guys, so you said you haven't had one in like 13, 15 years, somewhere in there before you opened up.
Right.
What was the park that was here before that?
The park before that was Mad Lines. It was like kind of down towards Duncansville area. So it wasn't too far away, but it was sort of outside of town.
Okay. Here.
But no, it was like, it was a good park though. It really was.
There's something to be said for being in like the right town proper, like Altoona proper, makes sense.
Right.
And how far are you from downtown Altoona right here?
From downtown, I mean, you could probably ride your bike there, probably in like 5 minutes.
Okay. So you're like super close.
Yeah, I mean, pretty close.
I only ever come in from the back way.
Okay.
So I don't think I've ever gone directly from here to like downtown.
Right.
But no, that's cool. So you're like right in the mix. Do you get like any summer programs or anything? Are you like involved with the city in that regard? Or are you kind of just
not really? We do
stay in your lane and
More or less. We just do our thing, stay in our lane. You know, I feel like it's better that way.
It definitely gives you an authentic skate park feel, right. Not like daycare center.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I mean, we do camps. You know, I mean, we're all about like, you know, helping the kids out in the community. You know, teaching them how to skate, ride bikes, you know, whatever. So, you know, it gives them an alternate place to go to learn like another skill. You know, which is cool. So, I mean, I know, like, a lot of kids aren't really into the team sports and stuff like that, you know. And, I mean, I would have parents that come in and are like, yeah, he's, you know, just not feeling basketball or soccer, you know. But then he started skating and, you know, or he started riding a bike and, you know, he loves it, you know. And then they found out about this place and it just kind of, you know, evolves into them just, like, learning new stuff and just, you know, meeting new friends. And, you know, it's really cool to see.
And I'm going to steal this from another podcast. It's Imprimatur BMX podcast. But they had one episode where they were talking about, like, all it is fancy wordsmithing, but all the skills that you learn riding a bike or skateboarding translate very well to resumes when you get older. And it's as simple as, like, being able to plan and coordinate a road trip with limited funds and, like, knowing how to plan for that and budget and everything. Like, it's all real world skills.
Right.
And as soon as you get involved helping out at a park at all, like, how do you build anything? Well, now you've got limited carpentry skills. Right. Like, you're all these skills come out of the woodwork
no pun intended, but like, if you just think about the things you do on a daily basis, you can twist them into real world skills very easily. Oh, yeah. And you're not lying.
For sure. For sure.
So it's like it's a cool thing when you start thinking about that too. And right. It's a good selling point for parents.
Right. And I mean, even like the mindset that, I mean, if you're going to, you know, take like, you know, like however long it takes to like even learn a trick, if you're going to dedicate yourself to learning a new trick, you know, I mean, that takes a lot of, you know, not dedication plus the physical, like, you know, slams that your body's mm-hmm. going through, you know. So I mean, if you can adapt that mindset to anything that you do, you know, in your life, I mean, I feel like you can do anything, you know. If you can mm-hmm. learn that trick, you know, then you can go off and, you know, get that job or, you know, whatever. So I mean, I feel like all of it kind of, you know, adapts, you know, to like you were saying, like the real world mm-hmm. real life skills or whatever.
Well, and the the same topic of discussion was, if you take a kid that's played video games for his entire life and a kid that's gone to the skate park and grinded at tricks day in, day out for the last 10 years, and at 18, now they're done with high school and someone needs to go get a real job, even if it's just stocking a shelf, like, one of them is going to do a lot better at the, like, knowing that hard work pays off.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. And, I mean, even developing, like, some social skills, you know? I mean, it's no good just, like, staying cooped up in your room playing video games, you know? You could be out, hanging out, meeting friends, making new friends, you know?
Connections all
yeah,
over
yeah,
the world.
Right, right.
Like, how easy is it? We could pick up right now, hop in a car, drive out to Chicago, and within 20 minutes of like getting out of the car, stretching at Grant Plaza or something, have a homie we could probably crash with that night.
Right. Yeah, no, that's one cool thing about, you know, the skate community, bike community. I mean, everybody's, you know, in it for like the cause, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there's, I feel like, you know, there's not much discrimination when it comes to like the action sports community, you know. It's just like all love, you know. It's
yeah.
like you see somebody riding a bike, it's like, oh yo, what's up, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Or you see somebody riding a skateboard, it's like, oh, they skate, what's good, you know.
Yep.
So it's like something, you know, instinctively you can connect and relate to, like you guys have something in common, like that bond. So It's something cool that you don't really see too often in like other aspects of how the world is, you know what I mean? And it's like, I don't know, we're like judged or looked at as like, you know, like just like some skaters or some punk bikers or whatever, you know. But I mean, really,
sometimes we
like,
are,
you know sometimes it's gotta go down like that, you know. But for the most part, man, it's just like, I feel like it's just like all love, and you know, that's what it's about.
Well, there's a heavy level of, like, if you come out with a little bit of respect and, like, hey, guys, you know, I understand what you're doing. Like, I'm off at 5 o'clock. Please come back after that.
Right, right.
You're like, all right, cool, man. I got you.
Yeah, for sure.
But if someone comes out screaming before you've ever even had an interaction, it's like, oh, man, it's on with this dude. Like, we're going to give this dude a run for his money. Because, like, he never even gives you a chance to be respectful.
Respect will get you a long way in life, that's for sure.
Especially when you realize you're not dealing with, like, 12-year-olds.
Right.
When you come out and you're talking to a 30-year-old dude, like, if you treat me like I'm 12, we're going to have a problem
yeah,
right away.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. There's definitely a right way to ask us to leave the spot.
Yeah.
Too many Karens in this world, right?
Karens. Yes. And just general, like, do-gooders that think they're saving the world by telling you that you can't ride somewhere.
Right.
And it's like, just leave, dude. Just go home. You're not saving the statue that's been grinded 50,000 times by kids for the last 12 years.
Ah, yeah, right.
By telling me I can't grind it. Like,
right.
Just leave.
Right. Yep.
Like, this layer of wax is no different than the 50 other ones that have been on it
yeah,
this year.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly.
That's pretty funny.
And, I mean, it's not like it's being disrespected, you know? It's like we're using that mm-hmm. architecture to bring, you know, to create new art in a way, you know? Like, just within, you know, what we're doing, whether it's skating or biking, you know, you can look at it, at that as like its own art form. So when you incorporate like that street obstacle, you know, whatever it is, you know, it's kind of like you're just using that landmark or that part of that terrain to, you know, create something new, you know, which is awesome.
Yeah. And I think
it, using it for you, like a different purpose.
You're using the word use too, which is like we're all allowed to use public space.
Right.
Except what that typically means is exist at, right. Not use.
Right. You can look at it.
You might be allowed to sit on it depending on what it is.
Right. Right.
But yeah, you can't use it.
I feel you.
Did you have any like other big ties in skating? Like, are you a film guy, a photo guy, or are you more of just like the skate dude?
I mean, not so much. You know, I like to film. I mean, I'll film the homies. My thing, I guess, is more art. I have AOK, all one kind skateboards that I do all the graphics and stuff for. So, I mean, that was kind of like, you know, the thing that kind of actually, like, really made me want to, like, get the part going is just because, like, we had the skate company and I was like, yo, we don't have, like, a scene or, like, a community, you know? So it was just like, you know, I kind of had to put that on the side to, like, kind of, like, develop this, like, scene or this community within, you know, our area, mm-hmm. just kind of, like, get everybody together, you know?
Yep.
So...
But have you done anything with AOK? Because I don't think I've seen that, but I also don't really pay too much attention to skateboarding.
Right, no worries, it's all good. as of now, it's just kind of low key. You know, I'll do like a couple new designs, you know, a year, just like keep the creative process going. But I mean, I haven't really tried to push it or promote it into like other shops or anything like that. You know, not yet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll come.
Yeah, yeah. So. No, that's cool though. I like just did a podcast alone, like a solo cast that I've been doing everything I ever touch under the name Grindworks.
Okay.
And I've come to a head with it where like all of a sudden I've got all these things that aren't really all that related, all branded the same, and I'm like, dude, that sucks.
Right.
And it's like cool that, you know, you had AOK Skate. And then didn't brand the park the same, which gives you like a couple of different cool creative outlets to do different graphic design type stuff.
For sure.
And you can disassociate them if you choose to, or promote one if you choose.
Right, right, yeah. Now, I mean, the name Skate14 is just, you know, just to like, you know, rep this, our area code, you know, mm-hmm. like just show love for the community.
Oh, it's perfect.
So. It actually did kind of work out good.
Yeah, like you almost, it's like it's handed to you. Like, here's an awesome name for your park.
It's like, oh yeah, 814 skate, skate 14, yeah, it's cool.
Were there any like crew names with that before that, or did it just like no one ever did it and it just worked out really well?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's awesome.
Pretty much, man.
Well, we can move to the other part of this too, unless you got anything else you want to talk about directly with the park. I think we pretty much touched a lot of it.
Yeah, I think, yeah, for sure, for sure.
So part two is what everyone already knows it's going to be, as long as you're listening now. If they're listening in like 6 months, it may not be that relevant. But, coronavirus, COVID-19,
okay.
nightmare, whatever you want to call it. So, I don't remember the exact date. You might, because you run a small business and it's right when it started hurting, but how long have you been shut down?
March 15th was March 15th. The shutdown date. And then we thought we'd maybe be able to open on the 30th.
Yeah, because it was originally 15 days.
Yeah, yeah. But then our illustrious governor pushed it back another month. So then we were like, oh, maybe we'll be able to open, you know, April 15th, you know. And then once again, he pushes it back. So then it's
What are we, May 30th right now? And we're still technically not allowed to be open?
Yeah, right, right. So I guess here in a week, it'd be June 5th.
Yeah, we should be in the green phase.
In the green, yeah. In the green. Isn't it funny? It's like a traffic light.
Yeah.
Red, yellow, green.
Except none of it. So I understand the small business side of this, but I'm going to take it from the social side for a second and just go, when you look at how quickly they've moved us through some of this stuff, or not quickly, however you want to look at it.
Right.
When they're saying it takes 2 weeks for you to develop symptoms, and they originally moved the northwestern part of the state into the yellow phase first to quote-unquote see what happens, right? Because mm-hmm. they had the lowest cases, and they would see if something would boom there before they would move anyone else.
Right.
1 week later, they moved southwestern part of the state and central state
right,
to yellow. So, one, you had no freaking clue if you were going to see a boom yet.
Right.
From what they did prior.
Right.
And then they're going on a 2 week period. Okay, you have to have been in yellow for 2 weeks with no uptick to move to green. So they moved that northwestern part of the state to green as of yesterday.
Okay. Yeah.
And now we are set for next Friday to move to green.
Yeah. So your county is you're able to go
green. Yeah, yeah, we're going green as well. So
going green.
That yeah. That to me seems irresponsible in a way if you're looking at just the social side of it. And I say that because you won't know if you've even started to see an uptick in cases for about 4 weeks from the time that you went to yellow. Because if it takes 2 weeks for the first cases to start showing, and then say you've had 2 weeks of exposure, those next 2 weeks after those first two are when you're going to start seeing, oh, holy crap, we ballooned real bad.
All right.
But at that point, we're all going to have already been in green.
Right.
Now, do I expect that to happen? I don't know at this point, right? Like,
I mean, it seems the numbers are very confusing.
They are, and I think they've made them that way on purpose. Right. And it's like,
and, I mean, in our state, in PA, the fact that 70% of all COVID deaths were in nursing homes or, you know, care facilities, I mean, that kind of, you know, should raise some red flags about, you know, the whole, oh, we care about the elderly, you know, so wearing a mask, you know. I don't know, that just seemed a little suspicious to me.
Well, and like, I have a 2-year-old at home, and I have a wife, and like, I was working from home, so like, it was really easy to be like, oh yeah, I'm, you know, following the rules and social distancing, blah, blah, blah.
Right, yeah.
And, like, that's cool for the first couple of weeks. And the more you, like, follow it and the more of the news that you start to look into, you're just like, dude.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I'm not that I don't believe that there's, like, a real threat here, but to what degree we are making any impact on that is tough to tell. And it's going to go right back to the same discussion that they had at the government level, where they said, if we overreact to this, you'll never really know. But if you underreact, you'll definitely know.
Right.
So it's like, it's tough to tell. Did we have any impact, or was it just a blown out of proportion thing and all some government ploy or scam to exude control over everyone? I don't know.
The scamdemic. Plandemic.
I have not watched that, I mean, because
all I'm saying is that I think it was like really good that everybody kind of, you know, showed the responsibility for, you know, the social distancing, you know, everything like that, you know, at first, whenever everything was, you know, kind of just boom, just kind of hit us, you know. I mean, it was just like all of a sudden, it's like, oh, coronavirus, boom, you gotta like close your business down, you gotta like stay at home.
Well, there was that short window for about a week before everything got shut down where it was like, hey, start limiting space. And I'm sure that you were like, hey guys, like, spread out a little bit, right, don't hang right, out, or right, you know, you start limiting sessions a little bit, but right, in the meantime you're like, man, this really sucks to have to do this.
Oh yeah, no, for
and,
sure.
And then sure, then they slam the hammer down, like, mm-hmm, everyone has to be closed.
Right. Right. And I mean, I'm all about, you know, I see the whole positive side of taking precautions, you know, and I thought that was, you know, good that, you know, people did that, you know, but then, I don't know, as time drug on and the numbers just, you know, kind of became more and more sketchier, you know, where you're not really seeing that many cases in like, especially in our area, you know, we hardly had, you know, any.
Yeah.
I mean, we were probably under 50, you know.
Well, Altoona especially and State College, let's just be real. You don't have a large international airport at the hub.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly.
So, like,
right,
when you look at the maps for where these big booms were, you had Seattle. Well, yeah, because that's a huge import
That's where it first started.
Spot from China.
Right.
And a whole bunch of other cities. You know, it's just an international airport.
Mm-hmm.
New York City, international airports. Yep. Philly, international airport.
Yep.
Dallas-Fort Worth, international airport. Yep. Like
LAX.
LAX, yep, international airport. Okay. Portland. So you start looking at all that stuff in Chicago. It's no wonder that those spots had high percentages of cases.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at Altoona, where, what's your closest international airport? Philly?
I don't know. Is Pittsburgh considered
international? It's not. No? Okay. It is an international airport, but it's not a huge hub like,
okay, right,
like a lot of the other ones are.
Okay. So then, yeah, Philly, I guess, or Baltimore, maybe.
Yeah, it might actually be closer just by the way you can take highways.
Right.
And easier to get to, for sure.
Right.
But okay, so where's the concern? You know what I mean? Like, yes, use your precautions, but to allow certain businesses to be open and others not to,
oh yeah, right,
is like,
yeah, no, exactly.
You're like, look it, if I can quote unquote safely go to Walmart, Target, wherever.
Do you have like 500 people?
I can also safely go to Joann Fabrics or Michaels and get my craft supplies or to Joe's bookstore and pick out a new book to read.
Right.
And then you get into things like bike shops were essential business. And you're like, on one hand, I get it because people use bicycles for their daily means of transportation. And for like health performance and everything like that. So, okay. But if you can do that by curbside pickup or appointment, there's no reason you can't allow these other places to be open. Bookstores, anything like that. It's all like,
just like the fact that even you can slam 500 people into a Walmart and they're not social distancing. I mean, people are, you know, shoulder to shoulder in Walmart, you know. I mean, what's the difference between, you know, that, you know, or having like, you know, 10 kids at the skate park, you know, spread out, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, at a certain point, it just became more about, you know, control. Well, the people so much more than the actual virus itself.
Yes. So. And I will stand down on my feelings for that first part, right? Where it's like, okay, fine. If you want to call it essential businesses, then so be it. When they started this phase two or yellow for us where non-essential businesses can open except blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Now we're starting to have a problem because you're nitpicking.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah, for sure.
And as a business owner, you have just as much right to be able to be open and to run your own protocol as anyone else. And, like, my stance on it with even, like, hair salons, tattoo parlors and stuff like that has been if you as the artist or stylist are okay to be open and comfortable, then open your salon, open your parlor,
open
to business.
If
people aren't comfortable going to those places and having the services done, then don't.
Right,
and
exactly.
And if that's the case, I think that a person running a salon or a tattoo shop or skate park or whatever, should be allowed to go out of business because people don't come, not because they have to go out because the state held them hostage.
Yeah, no, exactly. Right. No, you're exactly right. Yeah, I mean, and I'm sure if those salons or tattoo shops were open, you know, I'm sure they would have had business, for sure.
Well, and they're inherently trained in at least basic health protocol, yeah, and right, they don't want to get sick either. Right. So, like,
right.
When Dude, you're...
What's weird, all right, I swear, there's more people sick around here right at the end of, like, January. I mean, I probably know more people that had this flu bug going around right at that time.
The flu that tested negative for every flu test under the sun? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I had it, too, in November, because I flew back from Seattle.
Okay, right.
I flew back from Seattle mid-October.
Right.
And now late October. And then right around Thanksgiving time, I was sick for 3.5 weeks, had three or four separate flu tests and all sorts of stuff. And it was the worst sickness I've probably ever had.
Right,
and
I feel you.
Like, if I was given the chance to take their antibody test, I probably would, but I'm not going out of my way to seek it out either.
Right, right.
I don't really care that much.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you're better now, right? You're, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, man, just vitamin C, you know? Pack your body with some good vitamins, wash your hands. I mean, it's just like, you know, just that basic hygiene that you learn as a child. Just keep doing it.
The number of times that I had to watch people in the government explain how to wash your hands was comical.
Dude, I know, right?
Wash your hands for 20 seconds with warm soap and water. And you're like, is this for real? Right. Sing the ABCs twice. And you're like, dear Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
It's so bad. But yeah, that's been my stance all along, is like, these people can make protocol. And like, some of those things that have come out of this, say when you go to the grocery store and you see them actually wiping down the handles on the freezers and everything,
why did they not do that before?
Right.
Yeah, right.
And things like hair salons and tattoo parlors where the whole family can't come watch you get your tattoo or watch you get your haircut. Like, you're there on your own, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah, I think every artist and stylist is probably like, thank God.
Yeah, yeah, you don't need, you
know, and limiting walk-ins. Like, right. I know barber shops like to do walk-ins and have, like, the line out the door and everything till the end of the day, and they'll cut hair until they're tired.
Right.
But, you know, if you got to do it by appointment, then so be it. And right, I think everyone's going to live with it.
Right, yeah, no, for sure. And especially if, you know, it's going to save your business, if it's going to, like, keep income coming in for that barbershop or for that salon or business. I mean, it's just, you know, much rather do that, I feel, you know, than actually see one of these businesses go under, you know, just because of, you know, what's happening with this so-called, you know, coronavirus.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like...
Well, and I'm sure that you've seen some local places around here, whether it's restaurants or whatever, that aren't going to reopen.
Right. Yeah, there are a few.
And that sucks. Right. Sucks real bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't think people understand, you know, the dedication that business owners put into their business. You know, it's like, you know, what we were talking about earlier, it's kind of like their dream to, like, do this, you know, to give something back, to provide a service for the community, you know. And they put their life savings and their life's work into this, you know, business. And then just to have, you know, the government, you know, basically be like, sorry, you know, but you can't, you know, do business here anymore.
Well,
and it's kind of really messed up.
And don't you wish that running a skate park was so profitable that you could just take a couple months off from it?
Oh, yeah, that would be amazing. Yeah, for sure.
But, like,
they
literally hit you at the worst time, where it's like you're end of the good season.
Right, it was definitely. It was like really wet, rainy.
You probably had another good month.
We would have had, yeah, two good months for sure. But
with that said, obviously we're sitting here. We already, you know, said that you're not technically allowed to be open yet, but like, what's the scoop with the park? You know, are you're here.
We are here.
Is it
come visit?
All right. So it's not like by appointment or scheduled or whatever. You're just
it's not, man.
You're just doing what you got to do to exist at the
yeah,
moment.
Yeah, man, we're surviving. Definitely. Definitely. Well,
I think the fact that you can't find the door unless you know what a skate park looks like
right.
is a benefit.
Right.
No, I know that places like the Wheel Mill have applied for their waivers and everything, basically on the condition that if I go down to the local park to ride my bike, you see people in large packs gathered around, and he's going, well, look it, I can set an employee in each room of the park and actually enforce this better than you're doing in your local parks. Like, it would benefit you in the social distancing aspect to
right.
allow me to exist again.
Right.
But, like, they keep saying no. Which doesn't matter, because in a week, it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah, right. No, for sure. And the fact that they were dumping sand and stuff in skate parks, that's, like, ridiculous, man.
I loved the one out in California where all the dirt bikers were riding the park, and then they helped them shovel it out.
Yep, they did shovel it out, because that's what we do, man.
And I loved in Pittsburgh, they dumped it at arguably the worst park in the area, Polish Hill.
Right.
Not that I don't love that park, but, like... Come on.
Honestly, I've never been there.
And then
comment on that. So I mean,
you should definitely stop at some point next time you're out that way.
Nice.
It's rough. There's a lot of DIY stuff going on there. Local dudes are putting a lot of work into it.
That's good.
Some of it seems kind of haphazard, like it doesn't really work together that well.
Right.
And I don't know if it's like different groups doing different stuff.
Right.
Or if there's not a great plan in place in the first place, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Hey, it's people just making it happen.
Yeah,
so,
it's
I mean, that's,
DIY.
Right.
You figure out how to make it work together eventually.
Right.
But now, as soon as they did that, a Craigslist post went up about free sand. Like, come get it, left it in a public park where it's accessible and you can social distance when you get it.
Right.
And then someone else went and dumped sand in the...
Like City Hall?
City Hall doorway.
Yeah, no, that's a G. I like that. That's good.
Yeah, that's good. So while you were shut down, what were you able to do? Like, I know bike shops were essential business. Were you operating the skate shop at all?
We were pretty much totally shut down. What we did was we... tore down an old section of the park and totally rebuilt it, and then also added like a pyramid and a few other things. So it actually kind of worked out well for us timing wise, because we were going to do this project in July after all the kids got out of school and everything. So it kind of just like, you know, allowed us to get a good jump start on it.
Yeah. So. And then you get to have a reason for people to come back and check it out now.
Yeah, once we technically reopen, it'll be different. You know, it'll be not the same park that they came to 2 months ago.
Yep.
So
anyone that had something they didn't get done, bummer. Sorry, you shouldn't have waited.
Yeah, I mean, you only have so much time, so you got to use it to your advantage.
Oh, it's like the, this spot's not going anywhere, and then the next day they've, like, got it capped or something. You're like, oh, no.
Right. Got that
bummer. Should have done it. I already know the answer to this, I think, because you posted something on your Instagram, but have you done any like fundraisers for the park throughout it, like custom t-shirts, any gift cards, anything like that?
We didn't.
I don't think, I mean, the custom t-shirt thing, like, whatever. The gift card thing seems a little bit off to me from like the ground level, because all you're doing is deferring the debt. If you have no income right now and then everyone comes back and you get some income, isn't that just the same, maybe even better than like taking in all these gift cards right now, still being, you know, strapped for cash, and then having everyone that comes for the next 6 months without
right,
a gift card, you don't
right,
have any more
right.
money.
Yeah,
like,
no, right. No, exactly.
That
exactly.
one seemed, it seemed a little preemptive to me on a lot of stuff. And then,
Yeah, I keep plugging like old podcasts, but like I did one with Carlise Fizers. He runs Mantis Tattoo out in like Greensburg.
Okay, nice.
And he's like, dude, I'm not selling gift cards. Like my shop books out like 6 months at a time.
Right.
And he's like, if I sell gift cards right now, one, it just defers my debt, which exactly what we were just talking about. And two, it burdens my schedule and starts to impact like the ability to, one, I've got 2 months of backlog to do that I got to reschedule into an already booked 6 month out schedule. Right. Like it's going to be tough.
So he
wasn't doing anything either. And I've been surprised to hear that that's the case for a lot of people, but I think it makes sense.
Right. I mean, it's like kind of like, you know, you're in like a position where it's like, is it worth it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. For us, it just was like one of those things where I personally just felt it was just better just to like keep everything just closed down, wait it out, let us get our repairs done, let us get the park set back up, you know what I mean? And then when the time comes or when the time came to, you know, let people come back, and then it'd be, you know, let's just pick up from there, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, I look at it as like, all right, this is like a brand new start, you know?
Were your landlords cool with any of that stuff, like helping defer stuff, or are you just pretty much like, as is, you just got to keep trucking through?
Yeah, dude, we still got to pay rent, man. Still got to pay the bills, so, I mean, luckily we just had some, you know, some savings that we were able to do that, and we were still able to, like, keep everything going.
That's good. So, you pretty much have to.
Yeah,
and
it, for sure.
I mean, it sucks because you're expected to, but I can tell you that no one's ever anticipated just like, oh, we're going to shut down for two months and have no income.
Exactly, right. I mean, we were kind of, like I said, anticipating like the July shutdown, just, you know, that's what we were going to, we plan on doing. We're just going to shut it down for a month, build everything, remodel the park. So we kind of were planning for that anyways. And then this happened, and it was just like, well.
Do it now.
You know, yeah, might as well.
Anyone listening already probably listened to the Wheelmill one, but about 2 weeks before all this stuff happened, I had been talking to both Mike and Harry out there, and they had some ideas and stuff they wanted to do around the park that were like major overhauls.
Right.
And it was like, it was more than like close this section down, do whatever. And they're like, yeah, I'd love to do that, but when am I going to have time to just close the park down and get all that done? Right. And it's like, when I went down and did the podcast with Harry, he's like, hey, remember that discussion we were having like 2 months ago? Be careful what you ask for.
Yeah, right, right. Were they able to get some stuff built up then down there?
They've changed where their entrance to the whole building is.
Okay.
And like,
awesome.
Expanding their shop, expanding like changing their check-in counters, expanding the bike shop area for services and everything like that.
Very cool. Yeah,
so
that's what's up. I mean,
It's been,
you just
and then
take advantage of that time, you know. I mean,
he's been able to do some park renovations as well.
Good.
But I mean, it's that same, like, you know, if you're planning for something or you're like, man, I'd like to do this, but when am I going to have time?
Right.
Well,
now's your chance.
Yeah. Might as well do it now.
Yeah.
So you didn't take anything like PPP either then, like all the different, there were a couple different small business loans available.
We didn't.
I've done like limited research into them. I don't have a business that it would affect myself that I needed to like really read into it.
Right.
But it seemed like it, at best, it was going to make your books a little bit hairy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, it was like.
And at worst, it might hurt you more than it benefits you.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I looked at it. I mean, I know they did like the whole forgiveness thing or whatever if you qualified. But then it's like, you know, I kind of looked at it as like, you know, back in like the earlier 2000s with the housing market when they were giving people like hella loans to get houses and then boom, all of a sudden they like wanted their money back, you know. Yeah. And everybody was like out of their house.
Well, so that's what, like,
you know, that could go the same way. You know, you borrow all this money from the SBA, you know, you have this big business loan because they were willing to give you up to, like, you know, like a lot of money.
It was,
you know,
like, it was like 8 weeks worth of your full payroll plus your rent or right. something like that. And yeah, that's a lot of money right. when you start looking at it.
Right. And I mean, that'd be, you know, a lot to and have to just like pay back on a whim if they, you know.
So wanted that they're going to waive up to 75% of what they give you. But let's just say for a nice number, that's $20,000, right? They're going to give you 20 grand. And whether that's the right number or not doesn't really matter.
Yeah, right.
If they're going to give you 20 grand and then you don't have to pay 15 of that back, that's
cool.
I mean,
cool. That wouldn't be bad. If you were
but,
guaranteed
But you
that,
still you have a loan for 5 grand you got to pay back on
right.
top of paying all your other bills.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
no,
like,
right, right.
that's fine. That's not ultimately that much, right, if that was the number. But when you start looking at... What type of bookkeeping did you have to do on that? You know, because they're going to give you all that money up front. It's all in one lump sum. It goes into a bank account. Right. So do you need to cut your payroll checks and then withdraw the exact dollar amount to the penny to match your payroll check and then put that back in your bank account
right.
and do your books that way? That's the way I would do it because right. that's the easiest way to have it clean and be like, look, I used this money explicitly for this payroll.
Yeah,
I used this money explicitly for this rent check.
Right. Oh, and you'd have to do it that way for
but
sure.
But if
have
you
to have
didn't
document it down to the T.
If you didn't,
sure.
then you're not going to qualify,
right,
and they're
yeah,
going to come
right.
after you and go, "Well, we're not waiving that
yeah,
20
exactly,
grand."
Exactly. Right. Yep.
Now you owe 20 grand back to
right.
the government
instead of that 5. Yeah. No. Exactly.
And like, yeah, exactly. Is that a risk you're willing to take? And like. You're running a business, you're keeping your books, but like to what degree that you need to and what degree that might require, I don't know where the difference lies.
Right.
And I don't think anyone necessarily knows what's required for that is
right.
what's kind of sketchy
yeah,
right
no,
now.
Yeah, no, it was. And I mean, I've heard stories where a lot of people applied and, you know, they were like, you know, they applied and it was still like a month or so after they didn't even hear anything back. From their bank or their lender or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like one of those things where it almost seemed like the first round of everything went to like the bigger, smaller businesses,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not really like the ones that really needed it, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. No, I.
My
for
trust
sure.
for the government isn't very high.
I think. I mean, we can get into that if you want to, but
no,
that could also be
there,
its own complete
it
podcast.
Could be, yeah.
we already kind of touched on like right before the shutdown. There was that like week period of like where you're trying to do your best to like change the protocol in the park to suit what they're telling you. And still be able to be open and operating, and then that all kind of fell through. Like,
right.
Now that we're looking at reopening, how do you envision meeting like the CDC guidelines in the short term? And then, like, you know, I guess that's including like social distancing, masks, blah blah blah. And then, like, what do you foresee the landscape of the skate and bike parks to be in the general future?
I mean, the whole new normal bullshit is, like, stupid. I mean, people just need to take their own individual responsibility. If they're sick, if they don't feel safe, just fall back, stay at home, don't come out, you know. But if you're, like, you know, feeling healthy, you want to come ride, you know, you don't feel like, you know, standing 6 feet away from your buddy, you know, then go up, give them a dap, you know, be like, what's up, you know, like, I don't know. It just needs to, like, just be more... on the individual themselves and not, you know, a freaking law or a mandate coming down from freaking the Emperor.
Emperor Wolf.
Emperor Wolf, who I heard was in Florida this whole time, by the way.
That's cool.
Chilling.
Well, you know, someone can travel.
Right?
It's not us.
Right?
Is there any, like, changes in pricing structure, short term, long term, anything like that? Are you doing sessions now all day?
Short term, we're doing, temporarily, we're suspending our memberships just until July 1st. So anybody who had like a current year pass, they'll have to like kind of come in, pay like our regular fees, and then we're gonna pick them back up then in July 1st, and then we'll also reimburse them for 4 months that they didn't get.
Okay.
So just kind of a way, you know, for us to kind of open up, be able to generate a little bit of revenue to kind of get back on our feet and everything, you know, and then beginning of July, you know, we'll get our memberships back in line.
So. Cool. What do you charge for membership and what's it entail?
Memberships, monthlies are $60 a month, annuals are $350 a month, and if you have a membership, you can pretty much come, you know, whenever we're open, between 12 and 9, you know, every day if you want, you know.
Yep.
So,
right.
It's like a one-time,
In theory, if you're coming every day and you're on a membership, please buy, like, drinks and stuff, and...
that'd be awesome.
You know,
sure.
you need some cash flow coming
right,
in.
Right, for sure. And I mean, with the shop, most of our, you know, we have like a good group of members that are skaters, and I mean, they support the shop, which mm-hmm. is awesome. So.
I look at the membership thing more like a club.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly.
And it's like you're almost paying more for what you value out of it, because a lot of the time with like a bike shop or a park or anything, you don't necessarily care about the shop itself or the park. Like, you care sometimes about like the meetup point and like,
yeah, right.
hey, you know, we're gonna go stop by the park, hang out for a few minutes, and then we're gonna go cruise some street. And
right.
it's like, you know, you're paying for your membership
to come by, hang
out.
A lot of our members do that.
Say what's
for
up.
Sure. Yep.
And then peace out and like.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Go out, skate street, and then whenever it starts getting dark, come back, pick up, you know.
Yeah, pick up an hour.
8 or so, you know, and skate till 9, and so.
Yeah, and I think it's like a great pricing structure, because before you know that you want to be a member, like, you follow the conventional model. Once you're a member, then, like, kind of come and go as you please, mm-hmm. and, like,
yep.
there's perks associated with that.
Yep. No,
but
for sure.
Yeah, the average person coming probably doesn't qualify for that until they know that they do.
Right, until if they want to commit and be like, yo, I'm definitely going to be coming through here at least like 5 times a month, mm-hmm. so it's going to pay for itself in the long run, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Do you do your, you said it's $350 for a year?
It is, yes.
Okay. So do you do that in like monthly installments, or do you do it in one lump sum?
It's a one lump, yeah.
Okay.
It's a one lump. And I mean, we always usually put them on sale for Black Friday, and then like, you know, through Christmas, we usually have them priced down to about $250.
Nice.
So,
please don't hold off on that right now. Just buy your year pass.
Yeah.
Or your month.
Right.
But no, that's real cool. The only thing that, I'm going to reference back to the Wheelmill again, just because they've been doing it. They used to do the, like, 6-month pass, mm-hmm. and you paid it in one lump sum. And they've started doing it billed monthly to get more people paying for that pass, because
right.
it's just easier.
Right.
And then it also brings in...
Hey, take it easy, Vinny.
Yep.
Good.
It brings in... expected cash flow monthly, as opposed to a bunch of lump sums here and there.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So,
exactly.
I mean, it's all 6-1, half dozen the other.
Right.
But
right.
just food for thought on that.
Right.
For, I guess you probably also like, if you can't afford to spend the $350, then you can keep coming sessions, and it works out good for all of us.
Right.
What else did I have? I had a couple other little things here. Oh, I saw your sign. I snapped a picture of your little sign that you have down in the shop.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to post... That's going to be like the background for this podcast. But I'm going to read that right now, because it applies to the conversation we were just having about, like, basically put it in your own hands.
Right.
But you've got the Rona guidelines.
The Rona.
Wear a mask if you want to.
Yep.
Remain 6 feet apart once you're dead. Live life and enjoy it while you have it.
Yeah, man. 6 feet, dude.
Social distance by getting off social media. Wash your hands, though. You don't want to get the flu.
Nah, you don't want that.
Be kind and respect each other. We are all Americans. The loss of liberty and individual rights affects everyone.
It definitely does.
Support small business. They're all hurting. Mm-hmm. And research facts. Do not be misinformed by the mainstream media. CNN, MSNBC, NBC, Fox, CBS, ABC, ESPN, MTV, Disney, etc. They control what people think by triggering emotions, which clouds one's ability to logically think. Billion-dollar companies are profiting off of people's fear and panic.
Yeah, man.
That's what's happening.
I love it. That's what's happening, man.
You have probably the best skate park Rona guidelines that anyone has.
Nice.
I expect people to pull those out of this and rewrite them in their own
That would be
fashion.
Awesome. That would be awesome.
But you got to shout out Skate14.
No, I mean, I just want people to just kind of, you know, just take the responsibility on themselves, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And not, like, jump, you know, every time the media says jump, you know what I mean? And it's just like, even with what's going on right now out in Minneapolis, you know what I mean? It's just like the same type of triggering, you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like, you know.
Well, and it's almost inevitable that there's going to be something that comes out about that where it's different than what we've been told.
More than likely.
And which way that goes, I don't know yet.
Right.
But that whole situation's scary. Like,
oh, yeah, no, it definitely is.
And I posted something yesterday about it because there was a rally going on today down in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And my comment on it was, like, some don't need to care and others don't have a choice.
Right.
So, like,
I mean, we all,
you know,
should
it's
care
pretty,
because, you know,
pretty nice if you're in a group that doesn't have to worry about it and doesn't care.
Right.
But is it realistic? Like, can turn on you just as quick.
Oh, yeah.
The thing that no one remembers is that time and time again, the federal courts affirm that police officers have no duty to protect you.
Yeah.
Protect and to serve applies to businesses, banks, and the government.
Right.
It's not the people.
Yeah, man. Unfortunately. And, I mean, you see it all the time. And it's, you know, all people. You know what I mean? It gets blown up when it's, you know, minorities or whatnot, you know. And, you know, it's, I don't know, it's just a divide. They're trying to create, like, a divide within our country that they shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
Because together, I feel like we're stronger. We just need to realize who the real oppressors are, you know.
It's the
and
government.
It's not, yeah, exactly. And it's not each other, you know what I mean? No matter what color you are, whatever. It's like, we shouldn't be out here bickering amongst ourselves, you know what I mean, about petty stuff, you know. It's like, we should be joining up, you know, sharing information, you know, sharing the truth about certain situations and, you know, opening people's eyes to really what's happening. So
we got the First and Second Amendment for a reason.
We do. We definitely do. Yeah. Yep.
And it's the right to assemble, the right to free speech.
Yeah.
And then the other one is the right to back it up.
Yeah. And the whole corona thing, I mean, that's what they were trying to take apart. That's why they wanted people apart, you know. They didn't want people to assemble. Because if people assembled, what would they be doing? Talking
See,
about
See, we made it to your government's,
you know,
conspiracies anyway.
I know, man, right? You're going to get me killed.
as long as you don't admit to having information on Hillary Clinton.
I have none. I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, no info on Hillary Clinton.
YouTube's going to flag that. They're going to be like, Hillary
Clinton. Did they just say info on Hillary Clinton? Any, like, events planned for when we're getting kicked off here? I did see that as we move into green, they're allowing gatherings of up to 250 people. Mm-hmm. So,
yep. Oh, yeah.
We gonna pack this place?
Oh, yeah, we could definitely pack it out, for sure. For sure. I definitely want to get some, we're gonna be doing some BMX events here, and we're gonna do some, like skate contest series. So, it'll definitely be some stuff we're going to get organized here within the next few months to kind of bring some more people in.
So. That's good. I'm definitely down to support that in any way that I can help you out.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, you guys have always pitched in, you know, for like prizes and stuff anytime we did like a, you know, BMX jam or something. So we definitely appreciate that.
I always try. I feel like the whole mission of Grindworks has changed over the last couple of years to be way more about the scene and promoting the scene and stuff that's happening than it is about like our product, our pegs, anything like that.
Right.
Like,
I feel you. Right.
Like, we still make the stuff and it's cool and it is what it is, but like,
yeah. And I mean, that's kind of going back to like the,
it doesn't AOK matter thing. Without the scene.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's kind of how it is with like the whole AOK thing with the park and, you know, Skate 14. It was just like, let me just kind of work on just getting this park, the community, you know, get the scene, you know, established, you know. I think that's definitely way more important.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's cool. Like I said, hopefully I can be involved in that.
Definitely.
You did a series, was it not last year, the year before maybe, where you did like every Sunday you had a skate, scooter, and BMX jam.
Yes, we did. Sunday fun days.
Was that overwhelming?
That was very overwhelming, actually. Yeah, it was.
I know, because I run two jams every year, and it's just like pull your hair out.
Right, right. Yeah, no, we're going to try to like kind of group it down.
Once a month?
It's like, yeah, once a month, do like a skate jam, do a bike jam, you know what I mean? Something like that, instead of trying to pack everything into like one day. For sure. But they were fun, man.
They were super fun. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, they were a good time. It was cool. It was worth it.
The cool part was, I think, like the end, you had like everyone that had won through the different like 8 weeks or whatever all.
Yeah,
came back to like the last night or whatever you were doing there. But that pretty much brings us to an end.
What's up, guys?
Where can people find you at? Physical location is what?
Physical location is 2800 8th Avenue. So if you got the GPS, just go ahead and type that in.
Altoona, PA.
Yep. 2800 8th Avenue, Altoona, PA, 16602.
All right. And then on Instagram, it's at Skate14
Park? Yep.
All together?
Yes, all together. Yep. At Skate14 Park.
Sweet. Yep. Any other social medias you use? Is that really the primary?
Yeah, mostly just Instagram. Facebook, it's at Support the Local Grind. And then we have our website, which is skate14park.com.
Sweet.
So, and, I mean, we have, like, our address, our directions and everything, like, on all of our platforms. So, I mean, you should be able to find us for sure. That's the whole reason why we do it. So you can find us.
And then the way to support you right now is to come out and support your local grind.
Yeah, for
exactly
sure.
What
come
your
out and visit.
Your motto is.
Yes, sir.
Anything else you want to talk about right now, or is that pretty much it?
I mean, I think it's good that we're getting back, you know, in the green zone, if you want to call it that. It's good to see, you know, businesses reopening. It's good to see people getting back out, you know, coming out of their homes. After 2 months, so
I am gonna throw out there real quick that I actually like the mask thing, but I like it for a different reason than what everyone thinks. Everyone's looking at it as like a freedom being taken away from them, but let's be real here. Do you really think the government wants your face not showing up everywhere you go? Take that freedom back. Like, when you post a picture on Facebook right now, every single person in that picture, whether they have an active Facebook account or not, it's like, do you want to tag this person,
right,
that person? And it's like, all right, if one quick picture that you upload, they have that good of facial recognition, you don't think that when you walk into Walmart, it's like, oh, Andy's here.
Yeah.
Oh, Dub just walked in.
Right.
And not that we're not all carrying phones with GPS on them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, if you can disassociate your face from that, I really like that idea.
Yeah, no, I feel that.
And it's like even take it one step further, right? But where I'm that's sure
they,
the normal.
I'm sure they got the retina scan and all that. So.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure they do. They're probably just testing out better facial recognition right. software where it's just your eyes that they need.
Right.
But no, it's like even when you're going and like, say you're skating at a federal courthouse or something, right? You're just keeping your eyes on the ground because you don't even want to look.
Right.
You don't want to look up at a camera.
Yeah. What's up, man? Sure.
But yeah, I kind of like really dig the mask thing because if you're skating at the federal courthouse, like you don't even need your face on that camera now.
Right. Dude, you just get yourself like an LED headlamp.
I just blare it out
of the
out of the case.
You'll just look like a body with this big shiny face.
I like it though. Everyone I work with is, you know, just super anti everything Wolf does, and it's like, look, on some faces I don't hate everything that dude does, but like there's a tendency for a lot of people that run and operate small businesses to be very right-leaning.
Right.
And it, like, that's fair. And my company is. They are very right-leaning. And everything he does, they're like, he can't make me wear a mask. I'm just not going to do it. And it's like, well, right, but the store is also implementing the rule. And like, they don't have to allow you in there as a customer.
Right.
And they're like, well, I'll just find another store to go to then. I'm like, well, that's your right as a customer.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
I mean, definitely, yeah. I mean, that's...
Like, do what you want to do, right, but, yeah. Like, it's weird to make it that big of a deal. Like, I don't hate putting on a mask to run into Sheets and pick up a drink if right. I want one, or...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Or whatever. I actually like the idea, like I said. but yeah, it's like, it's weird that everything has to be so political, even when it's just a social issue.
Right. Right. I mean, I feel like it wasn't really at first, you know what I mean? I think people, like, were cool about wearing a mask and protecting themselves and others.
For the first month?
But then it kind of got political. Like, I feel like they made it political, you know what I mean?
So. Well... It comes down to, like, the different governors that are holding everyone hostage. Like,
right,
it's,
no, definitely. Definitely.
It's hard for you as a small business owner, even if you believe politically, like, everything that Wolf has done, it's hard for you to stand behind what he's doing right now.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because he's literally screwing you.
Yeah. For sure. And I mean, not just like me personally, but just like, you know, so
your entire
ones,
community.
You know? Yeah, exactly. It hurts the community on a grander scale. Like, you know. So.
And like the fact that they sent us $1,200 checks, which like big deal.
Right.
That it probably pays your rent at home and maybe like a trip to the grocery store, but it's
right, yeah. But I mean, they only got one of those. So I mean, for 2 months, you know, a lot of people were just like one.
Yeah, but they fabricated that money out of nowhere. That's not money we had. And you know what that's going to do is it's going to increase the inflation rate.
Oh, yeah. The Federal Reserve.
And then if...
People need to look into the Federal Reserve banking system. That's the root.
The fact that it's a privately held company?
Exactly, yes.
And it's a for-profit business?
Yes, exactly.
But, no, if they can get the inflation rate up, then... They can charge more in taxes because all your purchases cost more money, which then send more tax money back to the government for them to play with.
Right.
So, like, inflation benefits the government. It just hurts all the people.
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
And but I guess before we really, really go down this road that we're about to go down, we'll call this. So,
that's cool.
I'm glad we got to... Do
yes,
this in.
Definitely, man.
I'm gonna say fairly short order. It only took about a week to get it organized, get together on this.
Yeah,
so
right. Yeah, that was part of my bad too. Because I mean, I had a busy past week just running around doing different things.
You're trying to operate a business that's been shut down for 2 months. Like I get it. And I've been trying to line up a handful of these to
to some degree. I'm going out to Wedgwood tomorrow out in Youngstown.
Nice, that's awesome.
Doing probably awesome. Like the same conversation over again, but
right.
Everyone has their story, and like the backstory on the park should be cool.
Right.
Plus, like,
that'll be awesome.
I think it's important for everyone to understand the impacts, like, on all these different businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I tried to do. Mantis, done the wheel mill, done you. I'll do Wedgwood tomorrow. And then there's a park out in Scranton, Wilkes-Barre area that right now they're like a pop-up park. It's Keystone Ramp Works.
Okay.
And they're trying to get a full formal location.
Right.
But right now they rent out space in the I think it's Wyoming Sports Dome.
Okay.
So it's a bubble.
Right, okay.
They can only have the space in the summer, which is like horrible for a skate park.
Yeah, right.
But they were just getting everything set up. They had the floor in, they were like starting to build the ramps and all this stuff crashed down on them. So they're not open yet. They haven't had, I don't think, one day of being open.
Dang.
And I think next weekend I'm trying to make a quick trip out there. That's one that, I kind of want to do via Skype, but I think that there's value in doing the face-to-face. I like it a lot better.
Right.
I think this has better sound quality.
Right. Nice. Yeah, no, I think that's great what you guys are doing, for sure. It's just informing the people on other, different views, so that's awesome.
Yeah, hopefully.
What are you going to do? Are you going to drop one of these, weekly, or are you just going to,
Probably. Hopefully I'll go home tonight and get yours edited, because I don't have anything sitting in front of yours.
Right, okay.
Sometimes YouTube is really friendly about updating at a fair rate. And other times it takes it a day and a half to upload, and I have no idea why.
Right.
But ours isn't ultimately that long. So hopefully we'll get this up tomorrow.
Nice, that'd be cool.
And then I'll drop you some links and everything and post it on the site, it goes out on YouTube. Which I'll just have that picture of that, and maybe I'll scroll through a couple pictures. I'll grab some of the park. If anyone watching on YouTube, there will be some content mixed in.
Yeah, nice.
But typically, I think most people listen in their car, and YouTube is not car friendly.
Right.
So it's on an audio only platform anyway, okay, which is Anchor.
Right. Okay.
It's similar to SoundCloud, except it's free.
Right. Nice.
And then they automatically push it to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and a whole bunch of other weird, smaller podcast platforms. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
I think Spotify bought Anchor.
Okay.
So now it's their deal anyway.
Right.
But yeah, Anchor has its own app. I can just record this right on my phone if I wanted to, and it would just be on their site, and you can edit it right there.
Word. Nice.
And we can, I could have called you from the app, and it would have recorded our phone call as a podcast. So, it's pretty sweet in that regard. Right. I just don't use it a lot that way.
Right. Nice.
It taps you out at 2 hours and shuts it off, so then you gotta, recall in.
Okay.
But that's cool. Yeah, anyway, thank you for doing this.
Yeah,
thanks,
man, thank you, dude. Thank you for coming down, for sure. It was awesome.
I'm going to say should catch a quick session before I drive back home.
You should definitely get a quick sesh, man. You can ride the rest of the day if you want to.
I could. It's only, 4 o'clock maybe? Oh, 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
I could easily get 2 hours in before I go home, and it'll still be light when I make it home.
Right? Yeah, man. Check out the new stuff.
I'm definitely checking out the new stuff.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thanks, dude, and make sure you follow at Skate14Park on Instagram, at the very least.
Yes, for sure. And support everybody's local grind, no matter where that is. Just stay supporting your local scene, because that's what it's about.
Local pizza shop, local everything.
Local everything, yep.
You've spent enough money at Amazon, Walmart, and Target the last 2 months.
Yeah, exactly.
No more. Shut them down for the next 2.
We just made Amazon, that owner, a trillionaire, so... Hook up your local coffee shops, pizza shops, barber shops, skate shops, bike shops, all that. Definitely.
Okay, thanks for checking out another episode.
hopefully you enjoyed that one and get a chance to go check out Skate14. Make sure you hit them up on their social media, primarily Instagram at Skate14Park, SK814PARK, and any of their other socials. I will put the links down in the description of the video and in the description of the podcast itself. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like the video, subscribe to the channel, and comment if you choose to. If you're not watching this on YouTube, there's a couple of photos that I've got mixed throughout this. Just of the park, of a couple of things we talk about. So I think I'll end up posting those on Instagram. So if you just go check the Instagram, you'll also see them. If you're listening on any of the audio-only platforms, you're probably listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. This is hosted on Anchor. And then it's also available on other podcast platforms that you may not know of. Breaker, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, Stitcher, Overcast. There might be others. Those are the ones I know offhand. But, yeah, if you choose to listen on any of those platforms, just, you know, give the podcast a 5-star review or a 4. I don't really care. You can just review it whatever you want. Hopefully you like it if you're still listening to it at this point. It helps boost the podcast, looks good, blah, 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 you know, just online metrics. So, you know, whatever you can do to help out. And then make sure that you're following Grindworks on at Grindworks_BMX on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat. And at GrindworksBMX without the underscore on Facebook, Mixer, TikTok, YouTube, Anchor, and for the time being, Xbox and Steam, and also for the time being, Mixer. I already said that one, but those might be changing based on the discussion I had with myself in episode 039. So, still haven't figured out what I'm doing with that. Anyway, thanks for checking this one out. Thanks for listening to me ramble a little bit. And hopefully you're following everything that I just told you to. So, have a good one. Till next time.